All right. You have your Bibles. You have your handouts. I have most of the scripture there in the handout, but you have your Bibles there handy if you want to turn to some of those passages of scripture. I'll be adding some of those, especially in 2 Timothy. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll be reading it here in just a moment, in Luke chapter 21. And some time ago, I think I was in Chesapeake, Virginia area. Michelle's family lives in the Tidewater area. And I picked up, someone gave me an article from a retired pastor, and he writes an article every month and later, maybe not as frequently now, depending on his health. But it was ramblings from a retired pastor. And I said all that to say this. Tonight might be more of a little more ramblings than really any organized outline. If you've looked at the outline, just some thoughts. I was thinking the other day with the new year, some things that we've been praying about and talking about and preaching on, especially not only doing our best at reaching other families, but retaining other families, asking the Lord to bring us in younger families as well. And at the same time, in all that, we need to be careful, as you see in your title, are you ready or overcharged? We want to make sure that we don't get overcharged with things and find ourselves with tunnel vision focusing on one thing. And I think we can multitask and we can do more than one thing at a time, and or we can balance things and how we do things and how we approach things. So it's not exactly organized, step 1, 2, 3, letter A, B, C, but just some thoughts and some things, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let's go ahead and read these two passages of Scripture and have a word of prayer. Here in Luke chapter 21, Christ is warning of their worldliness, and so several things have already taken place there in the chapter. As he comes toward the end, he's warning them of worldliness, and he says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting." And that relates to overabundant supply, excess, and he's referring to unholy living. With surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. Again, that thought there. And take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with unholy living, uncharged with the cares and concerns of the world, overcharged with excess of things. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 here, Paul is writing to young Timothy. And of course, we know at this time he is encouraging him and challenging him, but also at the same time, knowing that the time has passed, not much time has passed for him, but Timothy is just starting out. And he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And I want us to concentrate on that phrase, "For I am now ready." Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us, Father, the joy and privilege and opportunity we have to serve you. Father, we ask that your blessings upon this time tonight, Father, that we be encouraged and challenged from the Word of God and be reminded of our state of readiness. Are we taking on too much? Are we overcharged? Do we have the balance that we need to have in our personal life as well as in our spiritual life? Father, help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. See, God is concerned about the condition of our hearts. You know, everything revolves around, if you think about it, in ministry, even in life, so much revolves around the heart. What is the condition of your heart? Spiritually speaking, the condition of our heart. Bible refers to where your heart is, there will be your treasure be also. It refers to many different parts of Scripture. It can truly be said, as your heart goes, so goes your life. What's important to us, what is dear to us, what is sacred to us, what we put above everything else, what is important to us, what is on our heart. The care and protection of your heart is important. Not just physically, taking care of our cardio sense, but also spiritually. We need to make sure that we guard our hearts. And that means guarding our eyes. It means guarding our mind. It means guarding the places we go, things that we partake in, things that we absorb, and that goes as parents with our children and with our grandchildren. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." It's important here, keep it with all diligence. Why? "For out of it are the issues of life." How much do we guard the hearts? How much do we guard the mind? How much do we protect those things? Are we prepared to get up and walk away, to turn the channel, to excuse or pull our family away from circumstances? In other words, if we're not careful, we could even be overcharged in the sense of having so much information coming in. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I even read an article the other day in reference to being overcharged in the worldly sense of those things that we carry around. Now they're saying it can even lead to autism with children. Too much time on the phone, too much of the flash and the movement and the fast, steady pace, everything going all the time. We can be overcharged. In other words, we can be overcharged if we're trying to take on too much and do more than we can handle. Folks, I don't know about you. I can do one thing real well. If I put my time preparing it, I can do it well. Add a second and add a third, something's going to suffer. And we need to make sure that portion that we're putting first, of course, is family. It is the Lord, of course, and his church family. And the problem is sometimes we try to do it all at the same time. But we need to make sure, and I believe if we're keeping, as I mentioned, the Lord where he needs to be, he'll help us with the other portion. Proverbs chapter the care and protection of your heart is important because it ultimately reveals who you are. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Again, it gets so much scripture, it gets back to the heart. We can refer to the physical heart, the spiritual aspect, the heart of the mind, but I think you can go wrong in comparing either one with scripture here. The care and protection of your heart is important because our speech. Folks, have you ever said something you thought to yourself, where in the world did that come from? Guard your heart. Matthew 12, verse 34, the second part of verse 34. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Luke chapter 6, verse 45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." God warns us that the heart can be overcharged. Another sports analogy. Reading in the papers, and we're all talking in sports, and you know, especially college football, where are all these quarterbacks going? They're jumping into portals. People are going here. Coaches are going here. And now with some of our professional level, coaches are going here. Coaches are going there. And things are swirling around on a couple different coaches. Well, we don't know if we want him. He's a known cheater. We don't know if we want him because he has known this and that. Folks, our actions and the things that we do portray what's in the heart. And we need to be careful that we guard our heart and make sure at the same time that we're not overcharged. If you're overcharged, and the gospel is referred to Martha, remember? She was cumbered about many things. And if we're not careful, we can be so busy and not prioritizing that something may slip or something may come in or we neglect an area. And the most important thing that we should not neglect is our relationship with the Lord. We can't take on so much that we don't have time to still read our Bible. We can't take on so much that we don't have time to make sure we're spending time in the prayer. And this is a rhetorical question. Do we make the time to pray as much as we want to? Do we really prepare the time, save the time, schedule the time to get into the Word as much as we want to? Now, this doesn't happen to me a lot, but I'm sure this is not a rhetorical question. Has there not been times in your life where you're really deep into the Word, but the alarm went off or something was reminded because you have a poem, you thought, man, I wish I had a few more minutes. Boy, yeah, often. Or spending some time in prayer and that prayer just leading to worship and having a good time. And then something comes up or you're reminded of an appointment, you've got to get to a doctor, and you thought, man, I wish I had more time. Well, that's what's influenced me to get up a little bit earlier and to start a little bit earlier so I can have those things. Sometimes now, well, in the morning times, we have one of our granddaughters will get up, done better since Christmas, but we get up at dark 30 in the morning, and she wakes up with a smile. I mean, there's no rubbing her eyes, waking up. She wakes up awake, and she'll come in sometimes, and she'll see my light on, and back in the front room, my office, she'll come on, want to go, "What you doing, Papa?" And I always tell her, "Come on up here in my lap. I'm reading my Bible." I want her to know that her papa is in the Word of God in the morning. Climb up and join me. What are you reading? Come on, join me. Are you having some coffee? Well, can I have some papaw coffee? And so give me a few minutes. Let me finish in the Word, finish with the Lord, and we'll take care of that and get you some breakfast. But it takes time, and we have to make sure that we're not overcharged, overtaxed, that we lay something that is good down in order to pick up something else that is good as well. But sometimes we're not careful. That which we lay down to pick up something else that is good, this thing might be better. Our time with God, our time in prayer, our time encouraging others. God warns us that the heart can be overcharged or we can be too busy. The Greek word here in this passage of Scripture, word is baruno, which means to burden. In other words, not only to be overcharged, but not to be burdened. Again, it reminds me back to Martha once again. It means to burden, to overcharge. And it comes from another form of another Greek word, barous, which means weighty, burdensome, grave. It's not only a burden or become burdensome. It is weighty. It is heavy. It will weigh you down. And he's warning us here. Take heed to yourself, lest time your hearts be overcharged, be overburdened, weighted down. And folks, when the heart's weighted down, we go back to the cardio, the physical, and the heart is weighting down, it makes it hard to breathe. It makes it hard to do and function at the speed that you want to because it's overtaxed, overcharged. And it can also affect us spiritually. If we're overtaxed and overcharged spiritually, how can we give? How can we love? How can we minister to others in the way God wants us to if we're overtaxed, if we're overcharged, or we spread ourselves too thin? God warns us of three areas that can act as a weight or a stress upon the heart. Again, spiritually speaking, these three areas can burden our heart to a point that causes our life, your life, to not be ready for the Lord. And it's, I don't know about you, but when I open my Bible in the morning, and this year Michelle and I are reading our Bible through chronologically. Last year, two previous years, I read a proverb a day in the Old Testament. The previous year, a proverb a day in the New Testament. This year, we're biting off a little bit more, and we're reading through the Bible chronologically, and I still read a proverb a day. And so often when I read, I want to be careful, and sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I have to remind myself, even though it's something that I've read before, I'm saying, okay, Lord, help me to read with not comfort, I've read this before, but looking for something new that will encourage me today. Right now, we're on, today is the 14th, so we're on day 14. We're in the book of Job. Boy, he's got some good friends, don't he? Well, that's another good book to preach from on occasion, the friends of Job. But I wonder how overtaxed those friends who came to talk with Job, those who came to tell him why he was having all of his problems with their great experience. And Elihu, the youngest one, boy, he had a lot to say, the one with the least amount of experience. I'm sure without a doubt he was overtaxed with listening to these friends. Sometimes we have to just, excuse me, sometimes we have to make sure that we're prioritizing things. Let me share a couple of things. Three things that burden and stress the heart. Number one, personal pleasures. Now, there's more to it. Personal pleasures that are more important to you than serving the Lord. There are things that I enjoy, but we need to make sure they're not more important than serving God. You can't spend too much time around a few men in this church and you know real quick they enjoy handguns. They enjoy shooting things. No doubt about it. Don't have a problem at all. Brother Robert texted me the other night and said, "How you feeling, preacher?" I said, "I need to shoot something." Of course, I could only see his face, and his whole face is laughing. And Brother Robert snorts every once in a while when he gets going. I just smile just listening to what he might be doing on the other end of that text. But there's nothing wrong with having those things. But as long as those pleasures are not more important than serving the Lord. There's so much. We can have fun and still serve God. We can still go out in the desert and shoot guns and still serve God. We can still go out at a restaurant and have a meal and fellowship together and still serve God. All the things that we enjoy doing, all the hobbies we have, golfing and bocce and all those things, we can do those and still serve God. But they have to be prioritized. And they have to be at a point to where they are not more important than God in our relationship with Him. Personal pleasures that are more important to you than serving the Lord can be burdensome to your heart. Number two, something else that can be very burdensome to your heart, so to weigh it down, is personal responsibilities that have robbed your time from being used of the Lord. We all have responsibilities, but those responsibilities can rob us of our time. Number one is, does those responsibilities have you, or do you have them under control? Are we prioritizing the sense? I've got a couple doctor's appointments this week. I get aggravated every time I have to go to the doctor. We just come out of this remote system. Why can't I phone it in and use phone in the prescription? Why do I got to go look at you? But I do. I got to go see the doctor. Got to ask him about my hands, about that trigger finger that's acting up again. Probably nothing they can do. They'll just have to live with it. I'm still having some problems with my allergies and with my foot and all these things. Well, you know, Mr. Cook, you're going to have to come in and let me lay eyes on you again. So I've got a couple different appointments. But when they call to make appointments, I try to prioritize. I got a phone call the other day that is very unusual about scheduling a doctor's appointment, and the fellow wanted me to call and make my appointment, call him back at the VA and tell him when my appointment is. I said, wait a minute, buddy. I think your job is to help me make my appointment and tell me what my options are. He got real quiet on the other end. Yes, Mr. Cook. What days would you like to go and what hours would you like to see the doctor? So I pull out my schedule. I know what I have on Tuesday mornings with the men. And I've got an appointment Tuesday afternoon, so I'll have to pull out a little bit, but I'll be able to be there. And I always tell them, no Wednesdays, no Tuesday mornings, only in the afternoon. And I can't do it on Monday and Tuesday afternoon because I pick up my granddaughters. They're my responsibility. So I try to schedule some of those things around, but also want to make sure I don't have them too early in the morning, because that's when I spend time with the Lord and I spend time with Princess back there, those morning early hours. So I have that option. Now, sometimes I might not get it the day I want or as soon as I want. It might have to bump out a little bit, but if I'm hurting that bad, I'll walk into the ER. I'll let it bump out a little bit because I have some other responsibilities in time in the Word, in time in prayer, time with my family, time with my church family. Personal responsibilities that have robbed your time from being used of the Lord can burden and weigh down your heart. And before you realize it, you find out you're all booked up. And before you know it, you're booked on days that really need to be a priority, because those days, those hours, those things that I'm associated with helps my spiritual walk and my spiritual life. And if I don't want it to rob me of my relationship with the Lord. Number three, personal responsibilities that have hindered your talents from being used of the Lord. Sometimes we're not careful. We take on so many responsibilities that we can't be involved in the church. We can't be involved in ministering unto others because we've allowed some personal responsibilities to take over or to intrude on some areas, and they hinder of using my talents being used of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with being out and about. There's nothing wrong with having and using things and going to places and doing things. But let's make sure again that we have a schedule. I make the comment all the time. This right here is sometimes smarter than I am. I've got a calendar. I've got it set up when I make an appointment. It goes into my calendar and automatically goes to Michelle. Michelle makes an appointment. Her calendar is set up where I automatically get a copy of her schedule as well. When I open my phone and look at my calendar, I see my schedule. I see Michelle's family schedule, and I see our church family schedule. And I try to work those things around those things because they're important to me, but it's also good for my heart. It's good for my relationship with the Lord to make sure that I have the balance, that I'm not overburdened. I enjoy being around Harvest Baptist Church. I enjoy being around God's people. I enjoy the functions and activities that we have, and I want to do all that I can to be there. Now, there's exceptions. There'll be time that we're providentially hindered. I understand that. But what I'm saying is there anything wrong with purposely working our things around that we can be where we enjoy being and being with our church family, being with functions going on or the ministry that we have? You see, God promises that His Son, Jesus Christ, will come again. He warns us that if our heart is overcharged or weighted down with the pleasure and cares of this life, that we will not be ready. the apostles we started off gave us an example and stands as a glowing testimony of not being overcharged, but being ready. Think about it for a moment. Can you think of very many men in the New Testament that were any busier than the Apostle Paul? Man, always having something going. If he wasn't preaching somewhere, ran out of town or being thrown in prison or stoned, he was making use of his time. Even in prison, he was writing. He made use of his time. But he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Dear Christian, guard your heart. Guard your heart and be ready. Let's refer back to Luke chapter 21 one more time. As Christ warns, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering or unholy living. That phrase, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. How organized are you? I have done better with age. In my younger years, I lived life by the seat of my pants. Just whatever I decided to do at the moment, we did it. And I learned real quick as I grew and had family and had children, that after a while that, hey, man, I just can't do that. I've got responsibilities. I've got to make sure that things are in order. And then we get involved more in ministry. Feel like God wants us more involved in ministry as a young couple in the military and with children. I had to begin to manage my schedule, do even more so. There's nothing wrong with having a schedule, but the only difference is, are we working the schedule or is the schedule working us? Are we putting so much on our schedule that we're overtaxed that we don't have time for these other parts of ministry? This is not in my outlines. It's absolutely free. We also need to make sure we schedule time to relax, to rest, to enjoy time, whether it be self or whether it be family. This past weekend, it's been a real joy to have Desiree come visit and spend some time. We spent some time last night with us three ladies and me and the girls. We used to be years ago when they were in church at different times with us. Their little Tiny was a junior. Then they went back to the States and they came back and she was all grown up in high school for their second time around. But we would get together often and play Rook and have a meal. And last night it was always the girls against the boys. The girls always accuse us of cheating, but that's because we always won. And we won't go to why we won all the time. We just did. Anyway, and right away Desiree said, "Okay, go get Kayla. She's your partner. Michelle's mine." And we sat around the table and we laughed and we ate and we played cards and had a wonderful time. We should do those things together with our family and with others. We had that opportunity. Michelle and Desiree got a chance to spend some time out the other day, running around, doing some things together, and just having a good time. We all need to do those things. We do the same thing here. We laugh, we cry, we do things together, we have meals, we fellowship, we come to church early to see each other, we stay late to see each other more and to talk. Those are all good things. But we need to make sure, as our church grows, as we get involved in ministry, that we don't bite off more than we can chew, as our grandparents used to say. We don't take on more, but we make sure that we keep a balance. Don't get angry with me if I come by and say, "You know, maybe that might be more than you need right now since you're already so much involved over here." Because I want to help you to keep that balance and with family and with ministry and not to be overcharged, to be overtaxed, but be prepared and ready to continue to serve the Lord. We need to guard our hearts, also the heart of our mind, with scripture and spending time with the Word and saying, "Lord, how can I minister? How can I be involved? How do I fit in? How do I plug in?" But also we need to remember at the time of the day, and I'm the worst. I'm trying to do better. I've already had some people tell me about having a scheduling and setting aside a little bit of money for other preachers to come in, if pastor will ever take a day off. I enjoy what I do. And when you enjoy what you do, you never work a day in your life. But at the same time, I still need to unplug. I still need to come aside on occasion. And I'm grateful for a congregation that encourages that with me and with my wife. And also the time that we can do things together, just relaxing, enjoying life. So, of course, sometime during the conversation or the game time or the meal, ministry may come up. But sometimes it never does. But it still glorifies God. because we're enjoying the time together based on our relationship with him. And somewhere along the way, either the ministry or he will come up, and sometimes it's just him. All those things are good for the heart of our mind, the heart of our heart, and we need to make sure as we go forward in this new year that we're not overtaxed, but ready to serve. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be so involved in an area that you have a ministry, you're involved in ministry, you're not overtaxed, you're enjoying it, but you're always ready to help out temporarily if there's a need. Always ready to fill in here if somebody can't be here. But yet I have my responsibility, I have my time with God, I have my ministry, I have my family, and all of these are guarded and protected because they're important to me. And if we don't approach it that way and take on the responsibility, it will hurt us. It can impact our life. Right now, our world for Michelle and I has changed a little bit with having more of our grandchildren, our daughter, with us more often. But even though we love them, we're caring for them, there comes a time at the end of the day where we tell them goodnight, we help mom tuck them in, and we go off and we sit in the other room or our bedroom and we have time together. Because we've been so busy and running through the day, it's like, well, how was your day? And sometimes I can look on her face and it says, well, never mind, pretend I didn't ask that. Let me go get you a glass of tea. We all have those days, but having that time, it's in together. And sometimes when we can't get up early enough and there's not too much going on, is starting our day in the Word and then maybe having our second cup of coffee together because we know we won't see each other for the rest of the day. I need the importance in the same way as I spend the time with the Lord. I need to get in a word with him early and have the time with him, have my prayer life, because I'm going to go busier today, do what I can and ministering to others, serving others, that I won't have the time as much as I would like to have back again in his word and with him. But I'm going to serve others in Jesus' name. And I'm still amazed after many years of ministry how God so often uses what I studied that morning to somehow minister someone that day or later that week. It's all because I've put aside the time to make sure that I'm there with him, that I'm ready to face the world and not overtaxed. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love toward us. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we always be ready, Lord, not just in service with you, but making sure we have that time in the Word, in prayer, that we might be prepared and ready to serve others, that we don't let all the cares or concerns of the world to overtax us to the point that it even drowns out our personal, private time with you. Lord, help us to keep and have that balance. Help us as we minister to one another, minister to our community, and Lord, and expect you to do great and mighty things because of our faithfulness to you. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Okay, it's 12 minutes till. Don't tell nobody I'll let you out early. God bless you.